reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving life to the eyes.
Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to open up your word and to learn from your teachings. Father, it is amazing to think that you would care so much for us as human beings, that you would reach from the thrones of God, of heaven, down to earth, to find us and rescue us from our sin, and create the opportunity for us to not only enter heaven someday, but to have a relationship with you right now. We learn this, Father, as you minister to our hearts and as we read through your Holy Scriptures. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your word that is life. We want to praise you for being our God. And we want to thank you, Lord, for touching us here in this place. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you bless the kids and children. Today, I want to talk to you about something that's fresh and in the news. Something that many of you are going to be like, oh no, I've been listening to this on the TV for 3 weeks. But you know what? I think that it is worth taking a look at things from a different perspective. Instead of hearing what the media has to say about something, let's take some time to hear about what the Bible has to say about what's happening today. In case you've been living under a rock for the past 3 weeks, a man named Brett Kavanaugh has been nominated to sit on the Supreme Court. They call it SCOTUS, that is, Supreme Court of the United States. Here's how the process works. A member of the Supreme Court has a lifetime appointment. That's why it's such a big deal when they pick one. Once they hire them, they can never fire them. It's a big deal. When there's a vacancy, the current president appoints someone to fill the vacancy. In our situation today, there was a vacancy. So after review, President Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh for the job. Now, Congress does a job interview. As with all things political, when the Republicans say something's good, the Democrats serve as devil's advocate and say, no, that's bad. And it also works vice versa. So if the Democrats bring something up, the Republicans serve as devil's advocate and say, no, that's bad. It's how the system works. They discuss and argue the point back and forth. It is always the worst thing that's ever been on the floor of Congress. It is always the most embarrassing moment in the history of the nation. It is always a shame and a destruction of the American process. I wish I knew how many times I've heard that in my life. I believed it about the first 10. Now it just goes in one ear and out the other. Because it seems that America has a process that somehow one man or one situation cannot overcome. So, don't be bothered when you hear these things. You know, Mark 13:7, Jesus was speaking and he says, when you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. That must take place, but the end is not yet. So we expect some trouble. We expect some chaos. That's okay. Judge Kavanaugh's job interview is called the hearing. During the hearing, the Republicans brought forward people to say what a great guy he is, and the Democrats, doing their job, have brought forward people who say what a terrible person he is. It's their job. It's how the system works. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, it says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines. And here's a good little maxim along the same lines. No matter how thin you slice it, there's always two sides. Which brings me to the point of the message. Dr. Christine Ford claims that 36 years ago, in a drunken stupor, Kavanaugh attempted to rape her at a high school party. What is the Christian response to this and things like this? I came up with 5 points, 5 methods in which we have to respond. Number one is truth. Number two is gossip. Number three is misunderstanding. Number four, MYOB. Do you know what that means? Mind your own business. I searched and searched for one word that meant mind your own business. So if you know what that word is, tell me, because the one word that I found was MYOB. And number five is faith. Number one, we as Christians need to seek the truth in everything. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word, that's God's word, is true. We like to think that truth is facts. That if we can gather all the facts, the truth will be revealed. So here is a brief list of possible scenarios concerning this Kavanaugh and Ford event that happened 36 years ago. Number one scenario is Kavanaugh is guilty and is lying about it. Number two, Dr. Ford made it up to gain prestige and wealth. Number three, Kavanaugh truly doesn't remember doing it. Number four, Dr. Ford mistook someone else for Kavanaugh, and he didn't do it, but someone else did. Or number five, which is my favorite scenario, we will never know the truth. Because when you look at truth as gathering facts, you're going to be in for trouble. Dr. Ford stated, when asked, how can you remember this? She stated that neurotransmitters encode memories into the hippocampus, and so the trauma-related experience, when it is kind of locked there, whereas other details kind of drift. So clearly, as a psychiatrist, she is well-versed in understanding when trauma happens, how events happen, and how they're remembered. But for me, which is how I have to look at this whole thing in seeking the truth, for me, I know that every time I replay something from when I was 15 in my mind, and some of the events from when I was 15 were not just about, you know, playing baseball. There were some tragic events. I have learned that time has a way of shifting some of those details and even some of the principles of the recollection. If you don't believe me, just recall an event from when you were 15. Write it down as accurately as you can, and then go ask someone else who was there to recount the event also. If you are like me and you have older brothers, this is easy to do. Because as sure as I ever recount anything that happened from my childhood, my brothers are like, nope, didn't happen that way. Ugh. I can't argue with them because they were older than me, even though they're wrong. You see, it's at times like this when we find out And we learned something that police know all too well. What do you have when you have 10 eyewitnesses to a crime?
10 stories.
10 different stories. Because we have a way of seeing things that happen differently. I'm not disputing what Dr. Ford says, but I'm just saying, in my experience, things have worked out a little different. Now, this is why, when the Bible speaks of truth, the Bible doesn't speak of events, it speaks of a person. Okay? Those verses still up there? Look at them again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. 8:32. That you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How is it we're set free? Through the blood of Jesus. Does knowing the facts set us free from anything?
No.
No. It's Jesus that sets us free. Every time we quote that verse and we say, well, when we know the facts will set us free. Well, that's not true. When we know Jesus, Jesus will set us free, regardless of the facts. It says in chapter 16 and verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. The Spirit of truth guides us into the truth. It is the Spirit of God that woos us and brings us into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. You see, the truth is not the collection of facts. The truth is God Himself. So, the number one thing that Christians seek when we're faced with one of these crisis-type events, we're faced with finding the truth. Doesn't mean we find the facts. It means we seek Jesus. Because when we find Him, everything else will fall into place very cleanly and very neatly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You want to understand? You want to be absolutely confident concerning Kavanaugh and Ford? Seek Christ.
Amen.
Number two, avoid gossip. Since facts do not prove truth, you and I will never know what really happened. And the truth is that Ford and Kavanaugh may never know what happened. She remembers what she remembers. He remembers what she remembers. They're conflicting stories. Now, we're supposed to sit here on the other side of the country and draw a conclusion based on the evidence released to us by CNN or Fox. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Because we're only hearing parts of it. And even if we're hearing every single word of it, we still don't have the facts. So we have to seek the truth, not the facts. Gossip seeks facts, not truth. Gossip seeks to steer someone into believing what the speaker believes. So if I choose to gossip to you about this case, I'm going to talk to you from my perspective, which tends to be a little more conservative, so you can guess where my thoughts are going to go. So I'm going to say, yes, because I'm conservative in nature, I want you to believe what I believe, therefore I'm going to tell you whatever it takes to get you to believe what I believe. That's gossip. Because if we're seeking the truth, and we're talking about this topic, we're going to be talking about, how is the Lord going to work this out? There's a great upheaval in America. People are concerned about this. And this is just a sample of a lot of things that are going on. You know, there's race problems in America. But what is the truth in race problems? There's financial problems in America, a growing separation between the rich and poor. What is the truth about that separation? You see, Jesus is the truth. And so we have to take all of our discussions and bounce them off of Christ to one another, because anything else is going to lead us into some type of hurtful gossip. We may be hurting the listener, if the listener is listening. And if the listener is not listening, we're still hurting ourselves by producing this gossip in our brains and letting it run out of our tongues. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Now, if you just listened carefully as I read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, which is a fairly familiar passage in Scripture, I'd say, good for you. But I want to tell you this. If you toned out about halfway through the reading, if you heard, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever," and then I turned into Charlie Brown's mom, if that happened, you need to evaluate yourself, because you may have put up a subconscious resistance because you choose to gossip. And I just want to challenge you on it. Because if you stop listening when the Scripture starts being read, it's because you don't want to hear what God has to say on the topic. You want to think what you want to think. We, as Christians, cannot be like that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." That should scare the gossip out of you. James 1, 26 says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart." This person's religion is worthless. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Proverbs chapter 26, and verse 20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. But where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases." Number 3, understanding ourselves and others. If we want to navigate through all the stuff that we hear, all the crises that happen in our world, we need to seek the truth, which is to seek the Lord. We need to stop gossiping, which is talking about things we know nothing about. We're not trying to fix things. We're trying to make them worse. We need to stop doing that. And number 3, we need to understand ourselves and others. One thing that the Me Too movement has taught me personally is that there are all kinds of different trauma, that has the same effect on a person as a physical rape. So I never knew before that an almost rape, or a cornered and afraid I would be raped, can cause just as much damage as actually being raped. I never knew that. You see, there was a time when I thought that emotional hurt was not the same as a physical hurt. Then I gained more understanding, and now I believe differently. No matter your age, it is okay to learn. It is okay to say, once I believed this, and then I learned more information, and now I believe differently. That does not make us weak, it makes us human. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. John 13:34-35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let me pause there for just a moment on this passage. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Just pause there and think what that means. Jesus is in heaven, in the place where we as Christians, we as humans desire to go. That is our final destination. It was not Jesus' final destination because he was there. And then he decided to take on a human body, the clothes of skin and bones, and come to earth and be born as an infant, not a king in a castle, but a little peasant boy to grow up in poverty so that he could understand what it was like to be someone else. And he grew up here. He said, you know, I'm so poor. I don't think foxes have holes. Birds have nests. I don't have any of that stuff. I got nothing. I'm flat broke all the time. My words are so controversial. You're going to kill me before my 34th birthday. See, he gets it. And he asks us to get it too. What did he get? He got what it meant to live in someone else's shoes. Do you get what it means to live in someone else's shoes? When my wife calls me on my cell phone, a picture pops up. Your phone probably does it too. The photograph that I have is of my wife when she was like, I don't know, 13, 14. That's when I met her. You know, that impacts me every time I see it. Because now we've been married for 44 years and there's been lots of change. There's been lots of water run under the bridge, and some of that water has not been so clean and beautiful. There's been lots of lumps and blumps that she's gotten and that I've gotten too. But that simple picture reminds me of where we started, and that we're on this journey together, and that we are going to walk that journey all the way to the end. I fell in love with that girl whose picture was on my phone. And though the girl that I love today looks quite different than that little girl on that phone, I'll tell you what. She is the same girl. So we learn to love each other. I look at her and I remember that she's still that girl. Because I want to walk in her shoes for just a minute, because it helps me to remember what it was like to be there and then. We joke about being spam poor. I told you this before, we used to buy these little cans of biscuits, you know? Remember those? They were like this big around. It cost 19 cents. We'd take spam. My wife would, she'd cut up the spam in a little square. She'd take the biscuit, and we wouldn't eat a whole biscuit. She'd tear the biscuit in half. And she put a piece of spam in the center of the dough, and then she pulled it up in kind of a purse, and she put it in the oven, and she, you know, she would do that with the whole world, and put them all on a cookie sheet or whatever, put them in the oven and cook them. And we would dip them in different sauces. You know, we'd put some marinara sauce or some ketchup, mustard, different things on them. So it was like a variety. It was a big meal. We had lots and lots of those big meals because we were really poor. It's important to remember today, now that you can come up to me almost any time and say, you know, do you have $5 extra? And I can tell you, yeah. I mean, my wallet might be empty, but I have $5 extra, $10 extra. I could probably come up with a 20 anytime. But boy, in those days, I was careful with my quarters, my nickels, my dimes. Do you remember those days? Think about those days when you interact with young adults today. The teenagers who are becoming people who, you know, they look like somebody got a hold of them with a box stapler, you know, and they powered up their ears with all these staples and their nose and you know, their hair is all crazy and they're tattooed everywhere you can put a tattoo. Saw a guy on the internet the other day, had a big tattoo, came up this arm across his shoulder, went right up his neck, right upside his face. Wow, he was cool looking. You gotta learn to appreciate the stuff that you don't understand. It's not my place to judge. It's really not our place to laugh at the guy with the tattoo, albeit it did kind of look funny. You look at that, I mean, my first reaction when I saw that is I thought he did that to be funny. Because why else would you do it? But despite it, or in spite of, or including tattoos, just as I loved you, you are to love one another. Just as Jesus loved me. Just as Jesus laid aside his divinity and took on humanity and came to earth. Just as I have accomplished some things in my life, I'm supposed to lay that aside to meet others where they're at. Because I'm no better than them. As a matter of fact, I'm just like them. We're all called to love one another. Sometimes it's really hard. Jesus had a lot of trouble, it seemed, loving the Pharisees. But he worked on it. He loved them by correcting them, helping them. And we're not Jesus. So the best we can do is help them. Number four, when we're faced with events that go on all around us in this life, and when we're faced like, you know, something's on the news to the measure that this Kavanaugh hearing has been on the news. One of the things that we want to remember is what our business is. So number four is mind your own business. You know what? Our congressmen and women are paid a lot of money to do their jobs. They appreciate our input, but they are the judges and the jury on this hearing. And you know what? It's okay for us to let them do that. Because that's not my job, that's their job. That's not your job, that's their job. It is okay to have an opinion, and it is okay to discuss the matters that concern our nation. It is not okay to be all up in arms hating people for their understanding of the topic. For we are called to love. So we mind our own business and we let them mind theirs and we encourage them in theirs. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11 says, and to aspire, this is what we're being called to do, and to aspire to live quietly. Does that describe your life when you're watching Fox News and you're like, yeah? Does that describe your life to aspire to live quietly. If the news is causing an upheaval in your home, shut the TV off. If you can't stop watching the news, put your TV in the car, go to the dump, and throw the thing out. It really is that simple. Nothing should control you but the Spirit of God, which is guiding you. So if anything is controlling you, stop it. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you. Proverbs 26:17, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. You think, well, what's that mean? Well, if you have a dog by the ears, what do you have?
An angry dog.
Mad dog. What if you let go of the dog? It's going to bite you. What if you keep holding on to the dog? Then you've still got a problem, a long-term problem. Because you're going to have to hold that dog. And the longer you hold him, the madder he's going to get. Best solution? Just let the dog walk on by. Number five. The fifth. When it comes to these things, we need to have faith. At the end of the day, we must have faith in God and in the process that He uses to bring about guidance for us. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says this. This is the Word of God speaking to us in America today. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Now, let that kind of sink in for a minute, that God allowed this system to be put together for His own work. Since Brooke is sitting down here in front of me, I'm kind of thinking about school. I'm kind of thinking, you know, go back in my mind to when I was middle school, high school, kind of that age there. You know, not like graduating and like, well, what's the world hold? But prior to that, when, you know, my whole world was in that school. My principal was such an idiot. I mean, my teachers, I know I had this one, and she would take her reading glasses, and she'd put them on her head, and then she'd look all over the room for her glasses. Now, we can look at that and say, yeah, so what? I've done it 100 times. But I gotta tell you, when you're a kid, you think most adults are crazy. And when one is, looks like this and is looking for their glasses, it has been confirmed. So she decided to not do that anymore because it was embarrassing. So then she got a chain and they hung on her neck. Then you know what she'd do? She'd go around the room looking for her glasses. And she would bend down and the glasses would swing and she would take her hand and put them back. And she'd like be looking through. How scattering can you be and still get a job? And God allowed that to happen so that I would have a sermon illustration for today. You see, everything, all this stuff works together. God uses it to lead us, guide us, form us, make us. I don't know that He really, you know, does things so much to guide and form us as individuals. But He does do, and I'm not saying He doesn't guide us as individuals, because He sure does. But He is definitely guiding the whole of the nation. And forming and moving all the groups of the people. That's why there's Democrats and Republicans. Because they come together in the middle and they push, and we never move. We don't change. Whereas if the Republicans all disappeared, we would just be going left. Or if the Democrats disappeared, we would just be going to the right. And that's it. God puts all these things in place so that an order is maintained. So if he sees fit to elect a president that you think is an absolute buffoon, it's because he's trying to correct something or trying to move something that's going to cause his people to repent, that's going to cause them to do what needs done, because God has a plan that's already in place, that one day the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, there will be a rapture, a return of Christ in the air, and we will meet him there. And when that happens, we will look back and say, oh yeah, I can see where everything worked up to this moment. And we'll think, I should have stopped looking forward. Which is the same thing the disciples said after Jesus was resurrected. You know what? In life and times, many people have set out to prove that God exists. We're going back to the topic of faith here. Many people have set out to prove that God exists, that Jesus was real, that the Bible was absolutely true based on facts. And on and on and on. Yet there are still a lot of disbelievers. You ever wonder why? Why can't people just look at something and see the facts and realize that I'm right? It's because of just by faith. And proof denies faith. Proof denies faith. People aren't looking to see what the facts are. They're looking for the truth. They're looking for Jesus. They're not going to find him based on proof. They're going to find him based on faith. A woman approached her pastor and proceeded to repeat something terrible that she had heard about him. When she finished, the pastor said, "Do you believe that?" The woman looked at him with puzzled eyes. He said, "You've known me for 15 years. Does that sound like something I would do?" "Well, no," she replied. "But aren't you going to defend yourself?" And the pastor responded, "No. If you don't know me by now, more words will not make a difference." That's where faith kicks in. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And want to see this in application? Look at Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace you've been saved through," what's the word?
Faith.
I just want to see if we're still waiting. "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, it's a gift of God." And 1 Corinthians 2:5. "That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." What a beautiful thought. You know what? If Kavanaugh gets nominated, we'll be just fine. Not because he's a great man, but because we have a great God.
Amen.
You know what? If the Congress decides, you know, Kavanaugh's out of here, you know what? We're going to be just fine. Not because the next guy's going to be better, or because we dodged a bullet, with Kavanaugh, but because we have a great God. Amen. We're going to be just fine. The whole world falls apart. The country collapses all around us. You know what we're going to be? Just fine. Relax. Take a breath. If you don't know who God is by now, if you have not seen how He has guided this nation, if you've not seen how He's guided our church or guided your home, I want to tell you, more words, more facts are not going to make a difference. Whatever we hear in the news, whatever we hear about the SCOTUS or the POTUS, or anything else, God has proved His faithfulness. We don't fight like people who are potential winners or potential losers. We have faith, the faith of those who have already won. We stand in victory. It's my trophy. You can't have it. In summer 1988, Colleen and I, we went up to Calgary, Alberta. And they had the Olympics up there. If you guys remember that, that was when the Jamaican bobsled team, that's where they did their thing. For those of you that are old enough to remember. So we're going through the Olympic grounds. And we come up there, and I'm like, Colleen, look at that! And she's like, what, that? What? Oh, look at that, behind that rock. She's like, yeah, what is it? It's the Stanley Cup. She's like, what's that? I'm like, it's the National Hockey League's championship trophy. And it's right there. Like, you know, I'll go around on the other side of the rope and you can take a picture of me with the Stanley Cup. Colleen's like, it's hockey. It looks like a big aluminum salad bowl. I'm like, but look at the names of the teams that are etched on that trophy for year after year after year. Toronto. I said, remember when Toronto used to have a good team? They haven't had a good team in 4 decades. But look at how many times their names are. Look at that. And she's like, man, watching all that Canadian TV when you were a kid messed you up. And I'm like, now look at the bottom name. Calgary Flames. That's what I was saying. They won the championship. They had it on display for all to see. And wherever that trophy is right now, you know they've added another ring or two to it so that aluminum salad bowl's a little higher. But their name is still there. It'll be there forever. For as long as there's a Stanley Cup, their names will be etched on that trophy. And I want to tell you what, nobody can take it from them. Ever. Because that name is etched there. And nobody can take away the fact that your name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
It's okay to get excited when you think about it. And want to get behind it. And have your wife whip out her little Kodak Instamatic and take your picture. Because it's a done deal. We don't have to be bothered with the worry and anxiety that stresses out this world. Brett Kavanaugh is not going to fix America. Jesus is the only one who can. Does that mean we shouldn't have an opinion on this? Nah, you can have an opinion. You can have thoughts. You can have discussion. Don't gossip. Don't trample on other people's ideas, their beliefs. Try and understand them and relate to where they're coming from. You might just learn something. Just by taking the time to listen to somebody who's never been listened to before might change an entire classroom of people. Like it did to a little boy in John's story. or it might change a whole church. If we change a whole church, we might change a whole community. If we change a community, we might change a county. But wouldn't it be something if Jefferson County became known as the most Christian county in the state? You know, it's all up to us, having faith and believing the truth. Let's stand together. We want to thank you, Lord, that it's about you. We want to thank you that you are God and you have the responsibility, and all we have to do is live in peace. Because you are God and you are good and you love us. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this reminder today. In Christ's name, we pray. That the Holy Spirit would remind you of God's very existence. And that if you receive Christ, that you are safe and secure in the turmoil of this world. That you can relax and be happy. Because your feet are planted on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your hand would be upon every soul here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.